morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here with Celeste Headlee. Let's take a look at those headlines at 47 minutes after the hour. President Obama announced that Osama bin Laden was dead in a firefight in northern Pakistan and actually the city of Abbottabad in a White House address last night. But when did others learn of it? Joining us now is Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Todd, what do we know about the briefings congressional leaders might have received in advance of the announcement?
John, part of the reason why the president's announcement got pushed a little later and a little later last night when we first heard it would be was in part because the White House was wrapping up, letting senior members of intelligence committees know that the announcement was coming, that Osama bin Laden was indeed dead. This is part of protocol. When the White House has a national security issue to inform the public about, they usually don't do it until all senior members of intelligence committees are informed on the Hill. House Majority Leader Eric Cantor notified by Vice President Joe Biden by phone. Speaker Boehner was told directly by the president that Osama bin Laden was killed earlier in the evening yesterday. And the president also phoned former President George W. Bush on the phone to let him know earlier in the evening that Osama bin Laden was dead, John.
Briefly, Todd, is this a moment then of solidarity in a very bipartisan town today? Or what do you think going forward?
Almost uniform solidarity. I have seen no statement from any member of Congress or any other leader, Republican or Democrat, with anything other than praise for fighting men and women, for the president, for the White House, for the entire anti-terrorism effort. Not a single negative statement that I've seen, John.
Todd Zwillick watching the situation in Washington, our Washington correspondent. Thanks, Todd.
My pleasure.
Taking a look at some other stories we're following, a Missouri levee has been loaded with explosives after the Supreme Court failed to block an Army Corps of Engineers plan to blast the levee open in the wake of flooding on the Mississippi River. Blasting the levee could prevent flooding in the Illinois town of Cairo, which sits near the convergence of the Ohio and Mississippi rivers. Chrysler says it earned $116 million in the first quarter of this year, company's first profit since exiting bankruptcy almost 2 years ago. And the final launch of the space shuttle Endeavour has been pushed back till at least the end of this week after its blastoff initially delayed on Friday. NASA says extensive repair work is needed to fix a faulty heating system before the shuttle can take off. You're listening to The Takeaway, where you can always reach us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE.
We're joined now by two people who've been reporting on Osama bin Laden for years, Rod Nordland and David Sanger, both with our partner, The New York Times. Rod, you for sure have spent years covering the search for this man, going back even before 9/11, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I actually worked on two different cover stories for Newsweek magazine, both of which were called The Great Escape, both of which involved going to Tora Bora and finding a very cold trail.
I mean, what is your reaction as a journalist this morning for whom Osama bin Laden has really dominated a lot of your work, a lot of your reporting, not just the man and his activities himself, but the reaction to him in other nations and among other groups?
Well, you know, on 9/11, when I saw the video of the planes going into the towers, my immediate reaction was that's the end of Afghanistan as we know it. And within an hour or so, I was headed to Pakistan. And you know, since then, it's been one aspect of this issue or another for most foreign correspondents, really, and for myself certainly. And when I heard the news this morning that he'd been killed, I had kind of the same reaction. That's the end of Afghanistan as we know it. It really changes everything. A reason for being in Afghanistan was to destroy al-Qaeda, make sure that al-Qaeda could never happen again. And now, you know, they've cut the head off the snake, and that's great, but that snake had already been kind of sleeping under a rock for a long time. It's been since 2004 or 5, since the Al-Qaeda operationally that Osama bin Laden headed has actually mounted any serious attack, and they haven't since 9/11 succeeded in attacking any target in America. So I think a lot of people are going to be asking now, what reason do we have left to be in Afghanistan?
And Rod Nordland, reporter with our partner, The New York Times. David Sanger, also a chief Washington correspondent for The New York Times. And also you can hear him every Monday on New York Public Radio's WQXR's The Washington Report. So, David Sanger, coming from Washington, do you feel like they're just going to be having that discussion Rod just talked about in terms of now what will we be doing in Afghanistan?
Well, I think they will be having that discussion. I think they'll also be having the discussion, what are we going to be doing with Pakistan? I mean, the most remarkable thing about this story, and like Rod, that morning of 9/11, I was with President Bush, and we were in the school in Florida and watching this on TV, and I remember a group of us saying, as we saw the second plane fly in, you know, several reporters saying at the same time, Bin Laden. And, you know, from that moment on, he has been the central defining character of American foreign policy. And so I think a lot will change. But in addition to the questions about Afghanistan, I think the question is going to be raised inevitably in the next few days. So he was living in the suburbs of Islamabad for some period of time in a compound right near a Pakistani military headquarters. It's going to be a difficult case for the Pakistanis to make that they didn't know anything about this. Either they're going to look incompetent or complicit. But it is very strange that he was that close to the Pakistani capital.
Well, just amplifying what Rod Nordland said a moment ago, David Sanger, you know, Al-Qaeda under Osama bin Laden has not had operational capability for a while. There's also a question for the U.S. government. What is the value of taking out a terrorist in retirement?
Well, there may be that question, but this was more a question of justice for 9/11. He has not been, as Rod said, operationally significant for a while. And, of course, Al-Qaeda has gone many other places since, Yemen and other corners of the earth. And those operations will still continue. We have to assume that Al-Qaeda and its affiliates will seek a way for some revenge for this successful counterterrorism attack. But it's going to be a difficult case to make, I think, that Al-Qaeda itself has to be the center of that effort as much as the Taliban and other elements of terror groups.
Well, David Sanger, got to ask this, then. Is Obama, President Barack Obama, a two-termer now?
Well, certainly if there were Republican candidates who were hoping to make the case that President Obama had not been successful in counterterrorism, had somehow gone soft, I think the combination of the much faster pace of drone attacks in Pakistan and then the success in getting Osama bin Laden is certainly going to probably make that a very hard case to make.
That's David Sanger, a chief Washington correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, also still with us, Rod Nordland, with the New York Times. And Rod, I wonder how this changes the conversation about the stories we've also been covering in terms of pro-democracy movements all throughout the Middle East and North Africa.
Yeah, in fact, I was just in Libya, and I was thinking a lot about this. I was there helping out temporarily. I'm normally in Afghanistan. And it was just striking the degree to which Al-Qaeda is no longer on the scene in any of these countries where we've seen these movements against entrenched leaders this year. It's not part of this conversation. It's not something people look to. They look to democratic models in the West, and Al-Qaeda famously has been against democracy. And so they've increasingly become kind of beside the point. And I think that now that their leader has been killed, their chief danger was as an example to other jihadis, and they've lost, you know, their best propagandists.
Nod Nordland, reporter for our partner, the New York Times, and David Sanger, who's chief Washington correspondent for the Times. You can also hear him every Monday on New York Public Radio WQXR's The Washington Report. Thanks to you both.
And we've been reporting all morning, Osama bin Laden dead. President Obama confirming his death late last night. People throughout the world have been reacting. Be a part of it. 877-8-MY-TAKE. Go to the website. You can see what it looks like at some of those locations. And even you, Celeste, were down at Ground Zero and have those pictures in your mind.
Yeah, I put some of the pictures on the web as well. It has become a solemn morning there, actually. A memorial. People keeping vigil.
Well, Ground Zero is the whole world this morning. If you were involved in the war on terror in some way, either as a critic or as a supporter, this is certainly a moment to remember. We leave you with some voices.
This is Ian from Freeport, Long Island. All I have to say about Osama's death is mission actually accomplished.
There's a worry among some senior officials here in Afghanistan that America may now feel mission accomplished. But what we're being told from those senior officials is only half the job has been done.
No doubt that Al-Qaeda will continue to pursue attacks against us.
I have come to think of bin Laden. He had sort of become a new Che Guevara for, you know, a new generation of possible activists.
We believe that the worst thieves in the world today and the worst terrorists are the Americans.
This has been long coming, and it is a just ending to to a mass murderer.
It's the voice of Tim Sumner, who lost a friend on 9/11. Add your voice to the story, 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.